Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We are back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you've been listening already, well, you know what we think. We think you're a highly intelligent individual, like our good friend Ray Keating, who's very smart. Ray is chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. He is also a columnist for Newsday, that New York publication that many of you know about. He's the author of a number of books, including U.S. by the Numbers, D.C. by the Numbers, New York by the Numbers. You get the idea here, folks, where we're going with this. And a soon-to-be-published book on sports. He's our good friend. Ray, welcome back to the show.
Morning. How are you?
It's good to have you here. We're doing great. Ray, before I know you've got a number of things you want to talk about, but before we do that, I wanted to get a couple of things, one thing at least off my chest and see what you think about it. I am very aggravated at the Republicans in the House, at least, because they proved what I've been saying, and I'm sure you have been for a long time, that minimum wage is not really about the people who earn the money. Minimum wage is basically, it was born as a political football, and it remains today as nothing more than a political football, a political gimmick, a ruse almost for the different politicians to use, depending on which way they're leaning. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
I think you're absolutely right in the sense that they use it as a political football. You're absolutely correct, but I think it's important for people to remember that, you know, the negatives that come from an increase in the minimum wage. And I'm not, you know, there's two groups here that I'm talking about primarily. Number one, you've obviously got small business owners who are our members and who are the backbone of the economy, and many of them are going to face, especially labor-intensive small businesses,
yep,
they're going to face higher costs, bottom line. So that means
By you know, fiat overnight.
Yeah, that's exactly right, by government fiat overnight. And that's going to have a real impact on those businesses. You're either going to see a reduced bottom line, and they're already operating on thin margins, or you're going to see jobs be altered in the sense that some low-skilled jobs will just be eliminated, or they're going to be cutbacks in other areas of for example, compensation for their employees. But the big story here, of course, with the minimum wage is that who does it really hurt? Well, it hurts the people that all the minimum wage advocates say they're trying to help. That's low-income people. And, you know, one of the things that we economists agree upon, and you can always find, you know, a couple of loopy ones that'll disagree, but most economists agree that the minimum wage hurts low-skilled, inexperienced young workers. And
some liberal economists said, many liberal
absolutely
economists say that.
No, you're absolutely. I mean, this is one of those things that most economists agree on. This and free trade are the two things I think that you can say that most economists agree upon.
What's his name? The liberal economist that writes for from Princeton. What's his name?
Krugman?
Krugman. Even Paul Krugman, within the last week, tipped his hand just a little bit to that. He basically said, you know, he talked about minimum wage hurting small businesses and actually not helping some of the lower paid people.
That's right, because it eliminates economic job opportunities for them. They're with those young, as I said, low-skilled, inexperienced workers are essentially priced out of the marketplace in many areas by a government minimum wage mandate,
but
by an increase in the minimum wage.
But back to the football, Ray, the House Republicans, about 50 of them or so, decided to bring this up on the floor so the Democrats couldn't get ahead of them in the fall. They got it passed so that they'd be able to say that the Democrats voted against it in the House, the Republicans voted for it, so the Democrats couldn't use it against them in the fall. But they did it. They got the Democrats to vote against it by sticking on there the abolishing of the estate tax. The same thing happened in the Senate, and it didn't pass because of that. And all we now know is that both parties consider minimum wage a political football. But we also learned one more thing, Ray, that Democrats hate the idea of abolishing the estate tax more than they love minimum wage.
Yeah, no, I think that's right, and it's, you know, on the other side of the political aisle with Republicans, bottom line is, anybody that votes exclusively on a minimum wage is not going to vote for a Republican. That's the bottom line.
That's exactly right. Stand by, Ray. We're going to take a quick break. It's To Winnie Tell. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're going to get into some other small business public policy issues right after these messages. Stay with us. Mickey and Sylvia for you.
Take it for a game.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. Ray Keating is our guest. He's chief economist at Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org. And I certainly encourage you to go to their website and check it out and to support that fine organization. And nobody does more for small business in Washington, D.C., than, especially Washington, D.C., than the SBE Council, pound for pound, I should say, because it is a small organization. They're very efficient. Ray, my last thought on this minimum wage thing and why I'm so aggravated at the Republicans is not in one report did I hear any politician on either side of the aisle talk about minimum wage as something that was good for the people. It was always about getting an advantage. They actually were so blatant as crass as to admit why they were doing it. What if the Democrats had called the Republicans bluff on this and the thing got passed? We would be stuck with a minimum wage increase forever and ever of up to $2 an hour. And in my opinion, that's unforgivable by the Republicans. Their plan worked, but what if it hadn't worked?
Oh, you're right. And I think they were trying to do the calculation that even if our plan doesn't work, we're going to have some sort of reduction in the estate tax, reduction in the death tax, so that'll make it all okay. And it doesn't make it all okay.
That's not how the balance sheet works.
And that's exactly right. And we saw some of that in terms of the blatant calculations that came out from some of the members of Congress.
But that proves how what I've said for years, Ray, and you have too, how little these guys really know about how the marketplace works.
Right. You know what? There are two things: how the marketplace works, but also how they should be working in pure politics. I mean,
right. Exactly.
I mean, you know, the bottom line is, if you have a Republican-controlled government, number one, you shouldn't have to worry about a minimum wage increase because, as I said, anybody that's voting exclusively on the minimum wage issue is not going to vote for a Republican.
That's right.
And number two is, if you pass a measure where you promise to eliminate the death tax, well, then we should be able to say, okay, well, they did that already. You know, they're eliminating it. But you know what? The way they passed it, because it's, all the tax cuts are still temporary, people need to remember that they're temporary, that we're playing this game, you know, 5 years after the first tax cut was passed in 2001. We're still trying to make them all permanent. These should have been permanent a long time ago.
And Ray,
it's serious about tax relief.
That is the greatest example of proof that our members of Congress have no shame.
Now,
if they had any shame, they would be ashamed of a law like that one. But the let's move on though, Ray. I don't want to spend any more time on that topic. It's just the one thing we now know though, Ray. Here's another thing we've learned. I think in the last few years, the big government, big spending party. We now know which party that is. Whichever one has the majority.
Oh boy! Well, you know, look at the spending. Though, don't get me started on that. Look at the spending numbers have just been atrocious under Republican-controlled government, staggering them. And again, you can't just blame it on. you know, the war and national security defense issues.
That's
because
right.
You take that out of the equation, and the rest of the budget is still growing at 2-3 times, even more, depending on which year you look at, the rate of inflation. It's really
the only good news is the tax cuts have. We also have proven that dynamic scoring is real and supply side economics works.
You got it, because look at what happened with the economy. Let's please get to the positive side of this equation here. The economy picked up speed in mid-2003. It was no mere coincidence that was the time where a truly pro-growth tax cut was passed retroactively. And you had reductions in personal income tax, personal income tax rates, capital gains tax rates, dividend tax rates, and expanded small business expensing. Those are all big positives for the economy, and we've seen the benefits of those. So the obvious point, next step is, those tax cuts are great, they work, they should have been made permanent a long time ago. They should need to be made permanent now.
Absolutely. And when you talk to your member of Congress, member of your delegation, you should tell them that. Okay, Ray, what are some other issues going on right now?
Well, what's exciting is there are a whole bunch of stuff going on in the states. We've got Election Day coming up here, and everybody's focused, obviously, and for good reason, on congressional elections. But in the states, there's some dramatic stuff being offered on the ballot. There are some big tax and spending questions in 3 states. And then in 11 states total, you've got some interesting property rights issues on the state ballots. And both of these are obviously big concerns for small businesses.
The property rights being reaction to the Kelo versus New London.
Okay. Right, that ugly June 2005 decision where the U.S. Supreme Court decided to trample all over property rights in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written a couple of pieces on this, as you said, at our website, sbecouncil.org. The most recent fact of the week looks at these measures in 11 states that look to counter Kelo. And we explain those. And then my online cyber column, what we call on our website, looks at these tax and spending questions. And those are really meaty, those tax and spending questions. They're one in Maine, one in Nevada, and one in Oregon. And each one's a little bit different, but basically what they're doing is placing some restraint on spending growth in the state and putting some checks and balances into the mix in terms of taxes. So it's very exciting stuff.
Well, and of course, it's funny how the states have benefited tremendously. The federal government has coffers are running over, but the states are having the same situation right now, except for New Jersey. Because, 3 years ago, there were some states who thought they were going to go bankrupt. Now they're wondering how to spend all their money.
Right. Well, the spending juggernaut is continuing on in the states and at the local level as well.
But at least they have the money.
Yeah.
They're not spending money they don't have. They're not in the deficits, except for New Jersey. And I don't know what we're going to do about New Jersey. Stand by. We got a new governor. I think that's their big problem. Stand by. Tintel. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Ray Keating.
Say what you see fit, but don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you. I've been feeling a new expression on my face. I've been feeling a growing sensation taking place.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ray Keating is our guest, and he's with the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Many of you, those of you who've listened to the show for a while, know the president of his fine organization, Karen Kerrigan, my good friend, and Ray's as well. Ray, tell us a little bit about SBE Council.
Oh, sure. We're a membership group across the country. We have about 70,000 members across the country, and we work on policy issues from A to Z that impact small businesses one way or another at the federal level and at the state level as well. And also there's all sorts of new stuff, good stuff on our website relating to people running their businesses as well. So we've hooked up with some partnerships with some folks that you can get that information as well. So it's just good stuff, I think, for small
highly
businesses.
Highly respected among members of Congress in the White House, the SB Council, Karen and Ray and the others there do a great job, and I encourage you to support them, make a little investment in their organization. But their website is free, so use it to your advantage. Ray, the elections this fall, you were talking about the states, and I want you to get back to those in a minute. But before you do, what do you think is going to happen? If let's say for the moment that there is no national security issue that pops up in the meantime, what's going to happen in the House and the Senate?
Well, I'll tell you, it is a tough call. If you had asked me this just maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I would have said, well, you know, the way the districts are laid out now, despite what's being said in the media, I would say that the Republicans were going to hold the House and the Senate. I'm not so sure about that today. In addition to all the things I do with SBE Council, I have my own little newsletter where I do some economic and political analysis, and I looked at a few seats at what they're calling ground zero in the House elections coming up in terms of in the area of Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. And there are some seats there that are competitive, that everybody expects to be competitive. You know, Republicans that have been winning, but by narrow margins in the past. But you have a few seats there now where they should be comfortably Republican. You know, with where President Bush won by very large margins last time around and in 2000. But all of a sudden they're competitive. You know, the polls show them to be neck and neck. So
you think that's because of the war in Iraq?
I think overwhelmingly it's the Iraq issue, but you know there's some other things certainly in play here, but I think overwhelmingly it is Iraq. So I'm not willing to say that most people are writing off one chamber or the other that it's going to go to the Democrats. I'm not willing to say that yet, but it's going to be really quite interesting.
It's going to be a fun night that night for people who love politics. So are you saying that in the fall campaign, Mr. Bush is going to have a little extra free time on his hand? He's not going to be doing as much campaigning?
Well, you know, with everything we've seen in the last few days, you know, over the last week with the airline flights, you know, the attempt there in Great Britain to take down flights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you said, that creates how is that going to play into the election, into voters' minds?
Renewed evidence of the war on terror.
Right. So they're just, man, I'll tell you, it's a flowing situation, and you just don't know how that's going to play out. And you know what? If it plays out where people like wake up a little bit and say, oh, yeah, that's right, we're in a war here, then all of a sudden you're going to see Mr. Bush quite busy, I think, leading up to it.
Do you think the Republicans will be able to use the photograph of Ned Lamont in Kentucky with Sharpton and Jackson and Waters behind him? And people like that on the far left of the spectrum, of the political spectrum, do you think that the Republicans will be able to use that to their advantage?
Oh, I think they will. I think probably nationwide they will.
Yeah.
I think the question for Connecticut, where the Republican isn't even in the mix. I mean, the guy is polling.
And the party has basically abandoned him.
Yeah, they have. Well, he's got all sorts of problems himself. So I think the real interesting, you know, a point here in Connecticut to remember is, you know, the hard left, the MoveOn.org folks, they got a victory on primary day. But you know what it's going to mean on election day? I think it's going to mean that they had a bigger loss. They got their temporary win. But I think Lieberman's going to wind up winning as an independent in Connecticut.
He'll be free to vote however he wants to, won't he?
Yeah, and what does that mean ultimately for the Democrats and for the hard left within the Democratic Party?
Mm-hmm.
It's a loss. There's no way you can shake that out, but if it's a loss.
If you're a Republican, you're really hoping Michael Moore raises his head again and gets really involved in the fall politics, which apparently he seems to be. Ray, thank you for being here. Good job today. Give us that website again, please.
Absolutely. SBECouncil.org.
Now,
it's always fun to come on with you, Jim.
Thank you, Ray. When's the new book coming out?
The new book, I'm hard at work again. I've been reinvigorated. I've gone to some ballparks recently, so the book on sports and government hopefully will be done before the end of the year.
And your editor keeps calling me, said, please be sure to aggravate Ray about this so he'll get to work.
And I appreciate that.
Thanks, Ray. See you later.
Take care.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away because I'll be back on the other side of the news. We got more to come. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.